Blog Talk Radio.
Come to mind and say, this is the day, this is the day that the Lord has made, that the Lord has made. I will rejoice, I will rejoice and be glad in it. That's just how I feel this morning. This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Because God gave me another opportunity to wake up. Hallelujah. Somebody did not wake up this morning. Somebody didn't have an opportunity for a new day. We got to tell God thank you. Give him some praise this morning. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, you're worthy of the glory, of the honor, of the praise. Hallelujah. I'm just grateful this morning. Ooh, hallelujah. Because God is
good. He is real good. Good all the time.
And he loves us more than we can imagine. You know, as I was thinking about the word this morning, you know, I was looking in my Charles Stanley Bible, and the one thing that God put in my spirit is, do all to the glory of God. What are you doing today? What do you have planned today?
You have a good day plan?
Do you have a bad day plan? Do you have training plan? What is your plan for today? And whatever it is, will God get the glory? Will God get the praise? Will you tell God thank you? Do you have some ministry work to do? Do you have some just your job to go to? And when you go to the job, whatever you're doing, are you doing it to the glory of God? Co-workers see you. Do they see a joy in your heart? Do they see a pep in your step that you're happy to be there? Or do they see you coming in with a frown on your face? Talking about, I don't know why I got to come to this job. Because God gave it to you. God gave it to you. And the one thing we need to be is grateful, because somebody is looking for a job and would shout from here, there, and everywhere if it was them that had got the job that you have. And yet we complain about the blessings God has given you of employment. Hallelujah. I see so many folks complaining about their jobs. Ugh, I got to go to work. You know what? I'm grateful every day that I get to go to work because I work for God and I love my job. Hallelujah. I love my job. And all I can say is thank you. Thank you, God, for the opportunity to serve you. Thank you for the opportunity to just say, I love you, Lord, with all my heart. and I'm grateful. Heavenly Father God, we lift up this mighty word this morning. Thankful, grateful, and blessed
for the opportunity
to read and to hear your word, God. Let your word permeate hearts, minds, and spirits as it goes into the airways, God. Let somebody hear and rejoice
that an opportunity to
hear the word.
Because there are nations
where the word is forbidden.
Father God, I thank you
for the country I live in with all its flaws.
I'm blessed to live where I live and to have the freedom
to serve you.
Lord God, as I lift
up all of your children all over this planet, I ask that you, Lord God, cover them
with your grace and your mercy. Give them strength, Lord God. Give them a strength
of the other side, that they will get through the storm, that they will get through the mess, that they will have peace.
And they will have joy. That they will have
everything they need.
Why? Because you, Lord
God,
provide it. In the name of Christ Jesus,
Lord, I thank you for this day. I lift up this nation and all the nations of the world. I ask you, Lord God, to cover those that are in storm territory, in hurricane territory, in fire territory.
Wherever there is a
natural disaster, God, going on, I ask you to watch over your children.
Keep them safe from all
harm and danger.
So leave them, God. Whatever that reason may be, they got to go through that storm. They got to go through that fire. They got to go through the water. Lord God, give them in Jesus' name, I pray. Amen.
I am grateful, thankful, and blessed for all of y'all that know I did have some serious damage from the storm that we had in our area a month ago.
I am happy to say that this enormous tree that was in my yard that is now gone.
Yay! And my yard is back to normal, and it looks beautiful. So I am so very, very grateful, you know, to
those that
came in, cleaned it up. Finally, I am grateful, 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 grateful. And the tree service, shout out to Bumblebee Tree Service, who
were the ones that
came and took care of my tree situation, and he left my stump, because as anyone knows, if you get a
tree cut down and you lose,
it's just the tree
fell over the wind, knocked it over the
lightning. I don't think lightning struck it. I just think it just
got hit in the right
spot for the wind. And oh,
down the road.
I don't know when. Maybe 10 years from now. Maybe 20 years from now. God willing, I'll still be here. I will have my pecan tree back. Yes. So, thanking God
for
tree service and do what they were doing. And I know that that's the truth. I had a tree cut down some years ago, and as I look in my yard, it's growing and it's looking just as beautiful as it did before it was cut down. So I am grateful for my tree that will come back, my pecan tree. So thanking God. I'm just having a thankful moment. And I love that we are, again, in Ecclesiastes. And we know that a certain king is having a moment.
And I'm not going to tell
anybody that it's easy when you are overwhelmed because you just have so
much. But you just feel like, Lord, am I going to get
through this?
Lord, am I going to get through this? And God will say, yes, you do. Yes, you will. You will get through this. You will get things in order. Things will work out when you do it. All you got to do. So let's
give God glory today. Let's just say hallelujah. thank you, Jesus. Lord, you're worthy of the honor, of the glory, of the praise. Just only shout again.
Hallelujah.
I'm all hyped up this morning. I am. I'm hyped up and giddy for Jesus. And as the word of God says in Ecclesiastics chapter 8 through 10, 20, that's where we'll be today.
We will also be in the third Psalm,
verses 6 through 14, Proverbs chapter 24, verses 10 through 12, and
our title is
coming out of 1 Corinthians chapter 10, and we'll be starting at verse 19. So get your Bible. It is time
for Bible study. We
have one more day
of this month. One more day of this month.
And we will have completed
8 minutes of this year. So, when we say time is flying by, And the word of God says, who is like a wise man? And who knows the interpretation of the Bible? A man's wisdom makes
his face shine,
and the sun of his face shine. I say, keep the king's commandments for the sake of your own God. Do not be hasty to go from his presence. Do not take your stance from evil things. Do whatever pleases
him.
Where the word of a king is, there is power, and he may to him, what are you doing? He will keep his command that seems nothing. And a wise man keeps the judgment time and judgment. Because for every manner there is a time and judgment. So the misery of man
increases greatly, but he
does not know what will happen. So he can tell him that it will occur. No one has power
over this to retain the spirit.
And no one has power in the
day of death.
There is no relief from that war.
And wickedness will not deliver those who are
given to it. All this I have seen cries my heart to every thing that is done under the sun. There is a time in which a man weeps over another. When I saw the
wicked buried
who had come and gone
from the place of holiness, and they were forgotten in the city,
for they had the wicked who had come and gone from the place of holiness, and they were in the city where they had been gone. This also is a vanity, because the sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily. Therefore, the heart of the sons of men
is fully
set for them to do 100 times, and his days are prolonged, yet I surely know that it will dwell with those who fear God, who fear before him, but he will with the wicked. Nor will he prolong his day with shadows, because he does not fear before God. There is a vanity which occurs on earth, that there are six men for whom to the work of the wicked. Again, there are wicked men to whom it happens according to the work of the righteous.
I said that this also is
vanity. So I commend it in vanity. Because that a man has nothing better understand than
to eat, drink, and
remain. But this will remain with him all the days of his life. If God gives
him
understanding. When I applied my heart
to know wisdom
and to see the business that is done on earth, even though one sees day and night, then I saw all the work that a man cannot find out,
the work that is done under the sun. But though a man
labors to discover
it, yet he
will not find it. Moreover, though a wise man attempts to know it, he will not be able to find it. Chapter 9. For I consider all this in my heart, so that I
could declare it all,
that the righteous and the wise and the works are in the hand of God. People know neither love nor
hatred by
anything they see before them. All things come alike to
all.
What even happens to the righteous and the wicked, to the good, the clean, and the unclean,
to him who sacrifices and him who does not sacrifice? As is
the good, so is the sinner. He who takes an oath, as he who is an oath. This is an all that is done under the sun, that one thing happens to all, to the heart, sons of men, are full of evil, madness is in the heart, full of evil, madness is in the heart, while they live it after that they go to the dead. But for him who is joined to the living, there is hope. For a living dog is better than a dead lion. For the living know that hope dies, fear no weapon. And they have no reward. As the memory of them
is forgotten,
also their love, hatred, and their envy have now perished. Nevermore will they have a fear in anything done under the bread of them. And drink your wine with a merry heart.
For God has already accepted your works.
Let your garments always be white, and let your hair lack no oil. Live joyfully whom you love all the days of your own life, which he has given you under the sun, all your days of eternity. For that is your portion for life, and in the labor which you perform under the sun. Whatever your hand finds to
do, do it
with your mind. For there is no work or device or knowledge or wisdom in the grave. You are the one. I return and go under the sun, not the battle to the
strong, nor bread to the wise, nor riches to men of understanding,
nor favor to men of fear, but time and chance happen to them all. The man also does not know, like fish taken in a clean net, like birds caught in a snare. So the sons of men are snared from an evil time, and it falls suddenly upon them. This wisdom I have also seen under the sun, and it seems great to me. There was a little city, and a great around it. Now there was in it a poor person, and he by his own wisdom delivered the city. That no one remembers. Then I said, wisdom is better than sense. Nevertheless, a poor man's wisdom is despised, and his words are not heard. Words of the wise spoken quietly should be heard rather than the shout of a ruler of thieves. Wisdom is better than weapons of war, for one sinner destroys too much fear. Well, whatever you see, are you seeing it to the glory of God? One thing can destroy a mistake. One person can destroy a nation. God is showing us a thing. How opportunity. It will be for the spirit of Antichrist to save us. Because he watched the things going on. A counterfeit concerns us that men could signify and stumble and fall for the fear of the people of life and the peace. And that's frustrating us. Because everybody that says they're good is not necessarily in the business. God is giving us an opportunity to think. Question, will we be? Why would our own eyes, but not on the weapons of war, but one sinner destroys my spirit? Something to think about. Chapter 10, live life, petrified, and causes to give up a foul odor. So does a little folly, the one who's
respected for wisdom and
honor. A wise
is at his
mercy. But a fool causes that even when a fool walks along of the real lives of justice, do not lose your place. For conciliation Christ testifies straight on this. There is an evil I have seen under the sun, an error proceeding from the ruler. Folly is set in his dignity, while the rich sit in a lowly place. I have seen servants on horses, while princes walk on the ground like servants. He who digs a pit will fall into it, and whoever makes you a wall will be bitten by a scourge. He is really stone may be hurt by them, and he is good may be endangered by it. If the axe and hand does not sharpen the edge, then he must do it and give some pain to death. A serpent may bite when it is not sharp. The babbler is made different. The words of a wise man's mouth are gracious, but the lips of the fool are swallowing him up. The words of his mouth fill with foolishness, and the end of his talk is madness. A fool also multiplies words. No man knows what is to be. Who can tell him what will be after him? The labor of fools worries them, but they do not even know how to go to this city. Woe to you, O land, when your sin is a child, and your princes eat in the morning. Blessed are you, O land, when your sin is the son of Moses, and your princes eat at the prophet's home. The strength and the gentleness, because of laziness, the building decays, and through idleness of hands, the house leaks. A feast is made for wine makes money. But money answers everything. Do not curse the king even in your thoughts. Do not curse the rich even in your building. For a bird of the air may carry your voice, and a bird in flight will kill the man. Wow. Let's go back to some life lessons from Ecclesiastes. Chapter 8 is 10. In chapter 8 it says, a wise man's heart, a wise man and woman, seek there. Come on now. Seek God there. And often that word has much to say about timing and method, about the ruin and the house. God moves heaven and earth to show us who we are when we seek him. Wholeheartedly, are you seeking God today? Are you doing what God says to do? Are you doing what you want to do? Are you doing your own thing? Are you doing all for the glory of God? We got to do whatever we do for the glory of God. Ecclesiastes 9:2. What even happens to the righteous and to the wicked? as you said, it matters that the best and hunter. Hurricanes and storms come through, and the good make it knocked over. We got to understand, all of us will go through. We all go through the same storm. When you're driving through the rain is raining on the best and the unjust. The rain is raining on the good driver and the bad driver. The rain is coming down. And bad things can happen to good people. That's the world we live in. Sometimes the wicked prosper for a while, and sometimes the righteous suffer for a while. But all things get balanced in eternity. The world is coming to an end, and the next one, the future. The future is very different still. To really understand the promises of God, we have to take the long view. Nothing is going to happen overnight. The only thing we are promised is life and death. That's it. Giving of life until death is what will determine where you go. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We got to understand that God is in charge of everything. We are not in charge of anything. And I want to just say, God is in charge of where we go and where we go. Where our final destination will be is how we live this life. So we do all to the glory of God. Did we do all to the glory of God? Did we do all to the glory of hallelujah? I pray that we all doing all to God's glory. But again, about me, not about you, all about Him. To really understand the promises of God, we have to take the long view. Don't get upset because you think somebody who's wicked is getting away with everything off of their tongue. Again, we all got to stand before God. And He will open that book, and there will be an accounting of everything we've done. Glory of God. And as Dr. Stanley tells us in 9 and Ecclesiastes 9 and 10, whatever your hand is to do, do it with your might. The Bible often contrasts laziness with working diligently. God doesn't appreciate half-hearted anything. He denounces half-hearted devotion to Him. Revelation 3:15 and 16. And He urges us to work at our day jobs with all our hearts. Colossians 3:23. Enthusiasm for Him should translate into enthusiasm for life. The pursuit of godly goals takes godly relationships, takes diligence and effort. The pursuit of godly success takes an expenditure of time and creativity. We got to go to work. Hallelujah. It's time to go to work. We got to get up. We can't lay in bed all day. We got to get up and understand. If you can't work, you got to work. Whatever you do, do it for the glory of God. It's not about what we do
for self-grandizement.
Self-grandizement means absolutely nothing. And you don't work for God. Do what we do because we love Him, not because we're trying to get into heaven. We do what we do because He's our dad, and you want to make your father proud of you. I'm grateful I had great parents. I had the best godfather you could ever imagine and the best godmother you could ever imagine. They were my grandparents.
They were my aunt and uncle. They were my
mom and dad.
They were
all those things. And then God blessed me to have a wonderful mother as well who did what was best for me. And all I can say is thank you to my mother. Forgiving his parents. so deep, and you have to help someone that's down. My mom was young when I was born, and God gave her somebody to give her a hand. And everybody that gives a hand aren't always blessed. Because love is not blood every time. I tell you that, how many children have been adopted, and I'm grateful, that have been adopted into love. That God's word says to love your neighbor as to love yourself. God is a loving God, and he wants us to be good, and to be good, and to love each other, and to care about each other. And it says this, how can I find fulfillment in my work? I do. I love my job. I love all the jobs God has called me to do. I love it. I love getting up in the morning and reading the word of God and sharing it with you guys. I get excited. I do get giddy for Jesus. Because why? He loves me. And he loves you. And Dr. Stanley tells us we all enjoy weakness. The creation that our families and friends is important for a well-balanced life. But if we live for the weakness, hallelujah. But if we live for the weekend only, we saw God's desire to bless us in the task that occurs most of our life first. Work is not the result of a curse on our planet that Adam and Eve did. God has instructed them to till the soil and reap the fruit before the fall. Work is a gift from God given to for our enjoyment and blessing. Is why the preacher can say, I know that nothing is better for them than to rejoice and to do good in their lives. And also that every man should eat and drink and enjoy the good of all his labor. It is the gift of God. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verses 12 to 13. A time for everything, y'all. Wait a minute. Like he's saying, if you knew who my boss is, you would understand. How can I possibly enjoy my work with such an unpleasant supervisor? Been there, done that, had that person. But I also had the supervisors that were, I think, for the wonderful bosses that I had. I thank God for Amelia Cat, who I will never forget, who taught me how to be a supervisor, who I watched as I worked. I was a worker. I was an agent for Federal Express. She was our station manager. And I tell you, I watched how she supervised. She, if there was work to be done, she did it. She knew every job in the station, and she was able to do every job, including carry packages, store packages, work the counter, do everything that needed to be done, and I watched and I learned that when I became a supervisor, I remembered everything I learned from Amelia Cass. I remember everything I learned from Gloria Romine, who taught me how to work in private industry. I am grateful for those women that were great supervisors, and I'm grateful for my boss that I had, who taught me you got to enjoy what you do. Thank you, Roger Walker, who was the director of the Department of Corrections, and I was his assistant, the first that looked like me. And I'm grateful for the opportunity that man gave me, not only as the first office manager, also he looked like me in the sheriff's office, and he was the first black sheriff of the state of Illinois. I did work for him. He was the first, and I was the first to call the film. I loved my job, and I loved working for him. And I am grateful because the greatest job I ever had was being a wife to a man of God, an awesome husband. And I can't say anything but being grateful for that job and being grateful for the children that man gave me and the children that God gave me. We got to thank God for the work that we do and for the opportunities that we have. Don't complain about your job. Be grateful that you have it. I'm grateful for everything I do for God. If your job is getting on your knees and interceding for others in prayer, then do it. Do it. Hallelujah. Oh, God, I'm true enough. Some work may not be an ideal job description, but consider the alternative. Have you ever known anyone to feel happy and satisfied while standing in an unemployment line? You better speak it. If you have a job, thank God for it. Not everyone is so blessed. Whatever you find yourself working today, on the factory line, under a suit, at a desk, in a truck, or on the phone, thank God for your work. It may be less than perfect, but that is where God has placed you, at least for now. We must come to see every detail of our job as an opportunity to serve God. The Apostle Paul tells us, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. That's our title this morning. And in reminding us, he reminds us, whatever you do, do it heartily. As to the, from the Lord, you will receive the reward of your inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. Hallelujah. Such an attitude can transform the workplace from a mere workstation to a practical pulpit that says more about your relationship with Christ than words ever did. Please, as God did, give him thanks for the opportunity and the privilege of working, not just for a living, but for him. So you can start anticipating the workday as much as the weekend. Hallelujah. And as we go into our psalm this morning, the Lord executes, and it is the 103rd psalm, verses 6 through 14. The Lord seeks righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his acts to the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in mercy. Praise the Lord. He will not always strive with us. God will keep his anger forever. He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor punished us according to our iniquities. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his mercy for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. As a father pities his children, so the Lord pities those who fear him. But he knows our pain. He remembers that we are dead. Psalm 103:13, like blessed as a father pities his children. So the Lord pities those who fear him. How does a father pity his children? Dr. Stanley asks, our weaknesses, immaturity, and ignorance. And so does not require them more than they can handle. Our Father does the same with us. 1 Corinthians 10:13, God is not required more but than what we can answer. God doesn't give us more than what we can answer. Sometimes we're like, but Lord, this is hard. What I got to do? It's a lot, God. How am I going to get through all of this? And God says, one thing at a time, one day at a time. Just do something. Lord, that's a word for me. Proverbs 24:10-12. If you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small. Deliver those who are for death and hold back those stumbling to the slaughter. If you say, surely we did not know this, does not he who faints the heart consider it? He who keeps your soul, does he not know it? And will he not render to each man according to God loves us. This life that we have been given is a gift from God. And we need to tell him, thank you. He woke you up this morning. Say thank you.
through, hallelujah. He's starting you on your way. Say thank you. Give God praise today. And say thank you. Every morning I tell God I'm thankful, I'm grateful, and I'm blessed. Because God gave me another day that he didn't have to. I'm grateful that he did. Hallelujah. And as we get into our title word this morning, in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 19 through 33, Paul says a lot in this little section of chapter 10, in and of himself. And he says, what am I saying then? That an idol is anything, or what is offered to idols is anything. Rather, that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice the demons and not the God. And I do not want you to have fellowship with demons. You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons. You cannot partake of the Lord's table and of the table of demons. Or do we provoke the Lord to jealousy? Are we stronger than he? Are we stronger than he? All things are lawful for me, but not all things are helpful. Come on now. All things are lawful for me, but not all things edify. Let no one seek his own, but each one the other's well-being. Eat whatever is sold in the meat market, asking no questions for conscience sake, for the earth is the Lord's and all is his. Come on now. You better preach. If any of those who do not believe invite you to dinner and you desire to go, eat whatever is fit before you, asking no questions for conscience sake. But if anyone says to you, this was offered to idols, do not eat it for the sake of one who told you and for conscience sake. For the earth is the Lord and all is fullness. Come on now. Conscience, I say not your own, but that of the other. For why is my liberty judged by another man's conscience? But if I partake with thanks, why am I evil spoken of for the food over which I give thanks? Whatever you're giving, give thanks. Whatever you're giving, give thanks. And if it's something that you don't normally eat, and you don't know that it's there, and you eat it unknowingly, you got to ask God, okay, Lord, I gave that up. I ate it unknowingly. We got to stop being so crazy that we get all caught up, that we want to find ourselves sinning instead of doing what we're thinking we're doing with God. God said, I got to do this. I got it. And God's like, I didn't tell you to do that. That was your attention. And you took me in. You know, you got to be careful when somebody says, well, God told me to tell you. If it's not a confirmation, God ain't told them to tell you anything. We need to understand that God will always give you insight. He will always speak to you first, and then he may go to a prophet, or he may go to a saint. He may go to a brother or a sister, and then they will come and they will confirm what God has already given you. We got to understand God speaks to us too. He doesn't just speak to the prophet. He doesn't just speak to your pastor. He doesn't just speak to your sister, your parents. He doesn't just speak to your BFF. He speaks to you too. And I love what Paul tells us. He says, therefore, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Give no offense either to the Jews or to the Greeks or to the church of God. Yes, as I also please all men in all things, not seeking my own profit, but the profit of many, that they may be saved. That's our job. Salvation for ourselves and for others. Don't put a stumbling block in front of your brother or your sister. We got to love God first in everything we do. You may be a mess, but whatever you do, do it for your absolute best, for God, our lawful for the
new, but not often edifying. We are to ask not merely, is it okay, but also does this help? God wants us to move beyond merely debating whether something is wrong or right, and instead choose actions that build up the faith of others. Wow. It's so easy to tear down. It's a whole lot harder to build up. We got to build up. Build up our children. Build up our ministry. Build up whatever you do. Do it for the glory of God. There could hardly be a better standard of behavior than this. Before you commit to any action, ask yourself, can I do this to the glory of God? With this action, put God's reputation in his life. Whatever you do, make sure God's light shines on it. Make sure God gets the glory from it. Make sure whatever you do it for God's glory. It's not about us. It's always, always about them. And whatever you do, is it glorifying God? Sometimes we do what we do because it makes us feel good. But the question is, does it glorify God? I will tell you in a minute, I love buying shoes. I do. But does what my those shoes I buy, are they glorifying God? Are they? Now, if they are for work, that's one thing. But if they just got a blend in you. But they have no so you can glorify God in those shoes. You can't use them for work. You can't use them for anything but these shoes. And I had I'm preaching to me, y'all. I'm talking to them. You know, them really pretty these shoes did not glorify God in the slightest. And you know it. Because they have no art support. They have nothing. They are just cute. That's all I can say. They are cute shoes. And you can't wear for long periods of time. But those shoes you work in, they have the art support. And they do glorify God because they work. They are your shoes to use for your job. And your job is to glorify God. Come on, man. Well, God, thank you. And then I have a prayer this morning as we get ready to wrap it up for good. We are convinced that every detail of our life is continually woven together to fit into God's perfect plan of bringing good into our lives, for we are his lovers who have been called to fulfill his designed purpose. And that's Romans 8 and 28. And that is let me get another Bible. You know, I just can't do that on and say, thank you, Lord. You know, when you got a Bible in every room and when you need it, it's right there. All you can say is, praise the Lord and thank you. You're going to go to Romans. Who is this? Think about it. We're going to go to Romans chapter 8. Verse 28, and y'all know what the word is, right? I know y'all do, because it's one of my favorites, and that's why I wanted to read it from a different Bible, because we know that all things work for our good, right? And this is coming out of my, the New International Version, the NIV, and this is from my Bible Quest Bible. It's another set Bible that I like to use. And it's one of my highlightables, just highlightables. And it's Romans chapter 8, verse 28. And it says this. I'm going to go actually to verse 26 to put it in context. And it says, in the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit
is there. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called. Hallelujah. Have you been called this morning? Have you been called according to the purpose, according to, you know, and I love what they were saying here. In the CPT, we are convinced that every detail of our life is continually woven together, fitting to God's perfect plan of being good into our, bringing good into our lives, for we are his lovers who have been called to fulfill his divine purpose. But when you look at that, it's like, it's a whole lot of words. It's called a word salad. But when you just go through the scripture and it tells you, and we know that if God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. It's simple. It's what you need to be. It's what you need to be. That's why I like to say, NIV, New King James, King James, very close together. NIV, James, are very close to King James. You know, in our Sunday school book, NIV and King James. But when you get to these prayers, sometimes they go with a different Bible, and you're saying, that's a lot of words, but it's not getting to the crux of what God is trying to tell us. And so that's why you have more than one Bible. Don't go to a lot of these new Bibles, this revised this and that. You got to be careful because he can take the word of God and kind of twist it. Because, you know, for we are his lovers who have been called to fulfill his design purpose. No, we love God. You know, the connotation of lovers is different in many ways, but love is the same. There's different types of love. But to be a love, to love God. And we do need to be lovers of God. And I mean, in the sense that he's our father, that he's our friend, that he's bigger than a brother. And it tells us, holy God, you are so intentional in your leadership. You excellently weave the tapestry of our lives into a beautiful gallery worthy. I know I can trust that you are working every detail of my life for my benefit and for your glory. There it is. I won't worry about anything being wasted because you use it all. I love you for all the care and attention to detail you have. You use every step of my life and weave it into the end, not throwing any part out. Master designer, your eyes for how individual parts add to the bigger picture is without rival. I am so privileged to be your workmanship. Thank you for using my life for a greater purpose. I cannot rightly express the depth of gratitude I feel as the work of your hands, your signature is all over my life. No one can deny it. What a beautiful point of view. And the question for the day is, looking at the bigger picture of your life, do you see the thread of God's business? And I can say, yes, I can. And before we get out this morning, a beautiful word from my sister in Christ, Sister Carolyn, who is always on time with the right word for the day. And the word for today is this. When we kneel before God, we can stand against anything. Have a warfare Wednesday. And again, do all to the glory of God. Say more than say thank you. And as we go back into Romans 8 and 28, just remember this as you do what you do for the glory of God. And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. Trust God. Love him. And do whatever you do for his glory. And when we kneel before God, we can stand against anything. Have a warfare Wednesday. And remember, it's good. I do and lead you to what's best for others and was good. Thank you. Watch God work, because he's good like that. And I want to thank all of you for your prayers. Evangelist Teresa is home, and she's thankful for your prayers. So thank you all for keeping her lifted. And don't forget to keep praying for Mother Bella as she gets physical prayers to travel home. Thank God for vacation and her sabbatical. And thanking God for each of you. Say it enough. Thank you for joining me this morning for this mighty word of God. And I pray over you as I pray every day. May the Lord watch between me and thee while we're absent one from each other. In Jesus' name, I pray over you and yours, all of you who listen now, who listen later, who may listen months from now. I pray blessings upon blessings over you and your family. That God watches over you, that God carries you through, and that we are quick for you. We know that something's going to happen, and we know that it's going to be good, because you do whatever you do for the glory of God. Thank God today that he woke you up. Thank God today that he gave you another day. Evangelist Shannon for the mic check. Thank all of you for listening. Have a great and blessed day. It's a wrap, because I tell you, as Sister Carolyn, so elegantly we put it, we are on our knees for you. When we will be put on, we can stand against everything. I'm kneeling for you and praying for you. Be blessed. Have a great day. It is a wrap.